To talk about it, Alan Bell, managing editor, NFL coverage for 24/7 Sports, joining us. Hope you've had a great week, and as always, welcome back to the show, Alan.
Johnny, thank you so much for having me, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, so, you know, it was a strange game. I felt, until the very end, I felt really good having the Chiefs giving the Chargers the 3.5. I mean, not once, not twice, three times the Chiefs had the two-touchdown edge, and they kept giving it up, and in the end, it was almost like everybody was looking around on defense for the Chiefs and that those waning moments of the fourth quarter, looking for somebody else to make a play. And boy, give full credit to the Chargers, not only getting in a position to win it, but then going for two instead of settling for overtime.
Yeah, it was an awesome game. And you're right. You know, give Los Angeles all the credit in the world. Going for two was an awesome call. It's just gutsy. It was the right call, you know, obviously, but it was just, it's cool to see, right? Now, Kansas City, you look at them, they're 3-3 against teams that are currently slated in the playoffs. However, the three losses have come against teams that kind of, you know, two of them might be Super Bowl-type teams. You look at, obviously, the loss to the Chargers, and then you look at the Patriots, and you look at the Rams. So they've lost to those three teams. Now, I'm not going to put that on Patrick Mahomes because I think he's the NFL MVP. He's unbelievable. He's had just a tremendous season. But that defense is suspect because Kansas City has to keep scoring points and they have to get up, you know, in the 30s to win these games. And three of them, like we just talked about, they haven't. So you wonder, you say, all right, you know, the playoffs, when it gets here, playoffs are different than the regular season. You have to run the ball, you have to control the clock, and you have to have your defense in check and keeping the other team's offense in check. And I'm not going to say that the Chiefs can't do it because they're a tremendous team. However, when talking today with Chiefs fans, that kind of felt like last year going into that Titans playoff game where they know they haven't won a home playoff game since the 90s, and it kind of crept back into their minds. So, you know, we'll see where they go. They're going to, you know, they're going to be fine. They've got to hold off the Chargers for the AFC West, and they have to hold off New England getting that number one seed. But the team is good. However, Chiefs fans are a little doubtful today. They're a little more doubtful than they were going into the game yesterday.
Well, and, you know, sometimes we talk about teams that are on a run to make a run for a Super Bowl, for example. And the Chargers, especially with Phillip Rivers there, you know, they've got those types of intangibles there working in their favor. I wouldn't be shocked to see a Super Bowl matchup with the Battle of L.A. with the Chargers going up against the Rams this year.
How awesome would that be? Now, the tough part would be this: if both of those teams go through the playoffs with, you know, say, home field advantage, and you've got the Chargers playing at a 26,000, you know, seat arena where the entire place is fans of the other team, that's not going to look good for the NFL. But this is a very important market. Los Angeles is very important for the NFL, and the marketing tool of that would just be tremendous on both sides. So the NFL would really, you know, they'd really look out. Both teams would, in terms of ticket sales, you know, corporate sponsorships, things like that. So it'd be really good. It would be really good for the health of the NFL. However, everyone else in the playoffs is saying, okay, yeah, we'll go to your little stadium, and it's going to be all of our fans there. But I think we're in tune for a really fun playoffs on both AFC and NFC.
We're at that time of year, you know, we're down to three games for everybody except, of course, the Chargers and Chiefs who played last night. And this is that time of year where, where's the motivation? Are you still fighting for a playoff spot? Are you not being distracted about where you're going to be, which team you're playing for next year? And, you know, a good example of that tomorrow, we got the two games tomorrow in the NFL, the Jets hosting Houston, and then Denver plays host to Cleveland. And it's that time of year where just when you assume you have everything figured out, you might want to lean towards the other way just because of the strangeness that happens. And I mean, think about it. Last night with the Chiefs, Eric Berry, you know, making his season debut this year. I mean, that was a big emotional boost. You had the whole thing with Tony Gonzalez being honored. It should have been a very special night for Kansas City. Except it wasn't after they lose to the Chargers. So, and so we look at these two games tomorrow. We look at the matchups coming up on Sunday, and you really have to do a double take and just don't assume, well, I know what this team has been doing to this point, and so we should expect them to, you know, continue that. And that is when I'll scream out, go the opposite way, just when you think you've got things figured out.
Oh, I 1,000% agree, because you look at the two games tomorrow. So, you know, just looking at on paper, you would say, all right, Houston's going to beat the Jets, and the Broncos should beat the Browns. But the Jets might be fighting for their coach, who I think a lot of players in the locker room, they like Todd Bowles. I don't know if he's going to keep his job. He probably won't. However, you know, they're going to be fighting for him. And then you look at the second game, the Browns aren't out of this. They're still in the race. As crazy as that sounds of everything that's happened to them, especially with kickers this year. And then you look at Denver, I mean, Denver has no one. Case Keenum has no one to throw the ball to. All of their receivers, their big-time receivers, are hurt. They're down, I think, two or three tight ends. I'm totally with you there. It's a good point. It's kind of like college bowl season, where you look and you say, you know what, LSU should probably handle UCF, but LSU might not care as much as UCF. So, yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. Like, there are some interesting lines and interesting games, but I think we're going to have two good ones tomorrow. And then especially when, you know, once Sunday and Monday night get here, it's grit time. Like, teams have got to win. They know it. And we're going to get a really good, you know, end of the year. And think about this. I'll leave that part on this. You know, think 5-6 years ago, you know, the story in the NFL was, teams would get in and you started talking about, all right, well, we're going to rest our starters. We're going to rest the quarterback. We don't talk about that anymore. Like, that was a big storyline basically when, like, Peyton Manning was playing with the Broncos. You don't hear about any of that anymore, because all these teams are fighting with each other for, you know, for spacing. So we're going to have a really fun, final 3 weeks of the season.
I think we started week 15 where 26 of the 32 teams still had hopes for the playoffs. Some obviously better hopes than others, but still 26 of the 32 teams still had aspirations.
It's amazing. I mean, the NFL has wanted parity. That's exactly what they want, and that's what they've gotten. And you've got to give them credit for this. However they went about doing it, you know, I know the draft is a big, you know, reason for it. But when you've got a race for both, you know, playoff sides, and I know a lot of the spots are pretty much taken care of. We're really looking at like 1 to 2 spots in the AFC and 1 spot on the NFC side. But, you know, again, you know, we're talking about seeding. The NFL has really done a great job, and the ratings show it. This has just been a tremendous year all around for the league.
I mean, like, we look at the Titans game against the Giants, and even the Giants, a team that started off 1-7, you know, mathematically, they're still alive. Anything is possible, even with the Giants, especially a team that has won 4 out of their last 5. And you look at the weather conditions. That's the other thing you got to pay attention to in the month of December. What's the weather forecast? Well, you know, if it's a 95% chance of rain for 3.5 quarters of that game on Sunday when the Giants and Titans are on the field, that means you better take care of the football and you better find a way to run the ball.
Yeah, you have to. And, like, I mean, that's honestly the key for the Titans to win this game is, you know, that entire offense, basically after the bye week, New York Giants are, 4-1, I believe, and they figured it out that Saquon Barkley running the ball, that gets them wins. And it really, it comes down to, there's going to be a number, and I'm going to put this number out there. This is exactly what it's going to be. If Eli Manning throws 32 or more passes Sunday, the Titans will win. If he throws under 32, that means that Saquon Barkley, the run game is working, even the short passing game with him. So that's really going to be the number. If the Titans can control the line and control Saquon, put Eli in some bad, uncomfortable positions, that's really going to be the determining factor. But like you said, you know, with weather, look at both of these quarterbacks. Like, you know, they're both kind of going through their own trials this year in terms of either turnovers, receivers not stepping up, whatever the case may be. And like you said, the weather's going to be bad. MetLife, you know, those winds they get down there and they swirl. The same thing it did, you know, in the Meadowlands. You know, the New York weather is just different. So we'll see. It should be a really great game, and both teams are very much wanting to win it. So, you know, both of them are do or die.
There's two games that stick out to me with regards to, you know, both teams still fighting it out for a playoff spot. And, you know, you've got it in their matchups that feature a team from the AFC versus a team from the NFC. One of those, Indianapolis hosting Dallas. The other one, the Miami Dolphins having to go on the road to take on Minnesota. Really intrigued to see how these two games play out, too, on Sunday.
Yeah, I really am, too. You know, Indianapolis obviously is in a bigger must-win situation than Dallas is. Dallas is pretty much de facto NFC East champs. They haven't, you know, officially won it yet, but they're pretty close. With Indy, I mean, they're the same spot the Titans are. They just have to win out, and that offense can play. Now, Dallas' defense is good. They're the only NFL team this year that hasn't allowed 30 or more points in a single game. They're the only team that's done it, but this Indy offense was rolling. You take away that, you know, the Jaguars game 2 weeks ago, everything else has just been phenomenal. So I wouldn't be surprised if Indy, you know, put some points up, and let's see if Dallas can keep it going. Now, Miami going to Minnesota, that's an interesting game because, one, Miami's traveling. They're coming off of a monster win over the team they hate the most that they won in dramatic fashion. Two, they're going up against a Vikings team where anytime you fire a coach, especially, you know, kind of a high profile, like an offensive coordinator, obviously, with John DeFilippo, there's either the team tanks or the team gets a boost. Look at the Packers last week, their first game without Mike McCarthy. So I'm interested to see what Minnesota does. I think a lot of those players are going to kind of get the point of, you know what, Mike Zimmer's not messing around. He's not really a joking around kind of guy. So I think Minnesota might get the point. They might put it on Miami a little bit. However, that Colts-Cowboys game is going to be really interesting because you've got a great offense going against a really great defense.
Well, and going back to the Cowboys-Colts contest, I heard this several times today, you know, from a national standpoint, talking about how this game means more to the Colts, you know, because Dallas, you know, they have that room for error with their two-game lead as far as the NFC East. And I go back to the first game in December with the Titans taking on the Jets, and certainly it meant more to the Titans, and yet for 59 minutes, it looked like the Jets was the better team that day. So, you know, if you go down that road with that notion, that's going to get you in trouble when you try to figure out how the games are played out. Here's the thing about the Dolphins. They've got the reputation this year of being very bad on the road, and certainly as the season has played out, really awful starting out. But you know, if you look back at their last road game, it was three games ago, right before their wins against Buffalo and New England. It's a Dolphins team that only lost by a field goal in Indy. And so maybe that is the learning curve. Maybe they've now learned how to take care of business on the road, and maybe we get the different version of the Dolphins this go-around on the road against Minnesota. I expect the game to be closer than – I see some predictions where Minnesota is going to win by double digits. I think Miami keeps it a lot closer than that and even will have an opportunity to win the game in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely could. You know, think about Miami. It's hard to judge, you know, if a coach is going to be let go or not, but Adam Gase is kind of fighting for his job, and Ryan Tannehill is kind of fighting for his job. And look at Miami. If you look since 2016, the Miami Dolphins have the best winning percentage in games that are 8 points or less. So when it's a one-possession game, I think Ryan Tannehill is 7-1 in the last 2 years or something like that. Like, they win close games. You wouldn't think it, you know, just watching the Dolphins or hearing their name. You wouldn't think that at all. However, they are very, very efficient and very good in one-possession games. So, you know, that plays well on the road. I know, the record doesn't show it necessarily. And then, you know, obviously you're right in terms of emotion. Don't ever count that because the NFL is a week-to-week league, man. And doing that will get you hurt and get you hurt with your bookie. But, yeah, I mean, you know, all the stats say that Miami is really very excellent in terms of one-possession games that are 8 points or less. So that goes to everything you just said. So maybe we could get an upset. Maybe we just get a really close game, a fun one. Can't wait to watch it.
Alan Bell, once again, with 24/7 Sports joining us. A lot of teams pulling for San Francisco at home this week, hosting Seattle, because a victory by Seattle eliminates the hopes of a lot of those mediocre teams that we were talking about that's holding out hope as far as the playoffs are concerned. I like the Seattle team. They've won four straight. They've come out of nowhere as far as especially in the second half, and I just like the direction of this team. Remember, this team was 4-5 through the first nine games, but with four straight wins, certainly looking like, I don't know how many teams would want to face them as far as the playoffs. You know, the Saints and the Rams will not have to worry about it getting the bye. But as far as the other division winners, whether we're talking about Chicago or Dallas or whoever else could be the winners of the North and East, they certainly do not want to face off against Seattle.
No, no one does. And I'll say this, you know, first off, one with Seattle, you've got a quarterback and a head coach together that have already won one Super Bowl. They should have won two, so they've been there. They're experienced. They know what they're doing. They don't let emotion, you know, get in front of them. I know that there's been a lot of change in, you know, on their defense, especially with the secondary. But think about this. You know how the NFL is different in the regular season than the postseason. Postseason, you have to run the ball, control the clock. That's what the Patriots do. Look at them. You know, their rushing attempts in the playoffs go up like 20-24%, something like that. So counter that with what Seattle's doing. Seattle's the only team in the NFL that has more rushing attempts than passing attempts. They're rushing about 51% of the time in terms of play calls. So what they do is that they control the game, and you don't really see it because you think of Russell Wilson dropping back, similar to a Patrick Mahomes, where, you know, he can beat you in the pocket, he can beat you outside the pocket. But watch their team. They run the ball, and especially late in the third and the entire fourth quarter, that's just what they do. They run the ball, and they control it. So they're a really tough team. Their offensive line is playing very well. Their defense, you know, with Frank Clark, and Bobby Wagner can obviously make plays. They're a dangerous team, man. And you know what you said in terms of, you know, teams that are in the playoff hunt looking up. They need Seattle to lose. They're not going to lose to the 49ers, and especially with everything that Richard Sherman's been talking this week. I'm not sure why he's talking, but Seattle. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle lays a little bit of a hammer down, especially coming off a last game against Minnesota where their offense looked pretty anemic until late in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle puts it off.
New England and Pittsburgh. You know, here's the thing. Pittsburgh just can't find a way to get past New England. And we look at the Patriots and, you know, last week, and then you go back to the loss to Tennessee back in early November, losing to the Titans. That's it as far as losses for the Patriots until you go back to the third week of the season. I mean, this team has been on a roll. Usually we're talking about a Patriots and Tom Brady team that do not have issues in the month of December. I don't know what happened last week. Only thing I can say is that Bill Belichick was, as we talked about on Monday, trying to show everybody he's the smartest person in the room, and it backfired on him. As far as Pittsburgh with all the injuries, I think it's just another year. Unfortunately, I don't think Pittsburgh has enough weapons, although the game's being played in Pittsburgh. I think this is yet another year of the Patriots over Pittsburgh.
I think so, too. You know, and look at New England. The last time under, you know, Bill Belichick that they lost back-to-back December games, I think it was like 2002 or 2003. Like, they just do not do it, right? And if you look last week at Miami, all the stats said that Miami would probably win. It's just a weird statistical anomaly. Miami in Miami just kind of owns it. The only team that Tom Brady's played more than five times and has a losing record against. However, if you take those same stats and look what Tom Brady's done against Pittsburgh, especially Ben Roethlisberger, he's like 11-2 or something like that, including the postseason. New England owns Pittsburgh. That's what they do. They beat them. They'll beat them in New England. They'll beat them in Pittsburgh. They'll beat them in Mexico City. They don't care. So I'm really interested how this Patriots team bounces back. The one thing that keeps Pittsburgh in the game is that the Patriots defense is on target to give up the most yardage in a single season in the entire Bill Belichick era. So wow. That defense can be had a little bit, you know, it can be had, but Pittsburgh is just not looking like themselves. There's internal problems again. Roethlisberger's criticizing everybody for some odd reason. I have no idea why. And you look at New England, I mean, they bounce back, and I guarantee that loss coupled with a game against a team that they know, you know, is an important team in the playoffs, the Patriots' full attention will be on Pittsburgh, and I'm with you. I'm taking New England over.